Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on December 19th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. Seven storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, These Dreams. This week's story comes to us from Jack Rowan and is titled, Inherent Words. Thank you for listening.
It's weird how sometimes unexpected things can show up at unexpected times and completely throw you off. Today, I had an experience, something happened that is directly related to the story I'm about to tell you, and it's kind of thrown my head a spin. And so the story that I've been planning to tell, it's going to be morphing as I go. In the spring of 2010, my mother was diagnosed with colon cancer, and between the cancer itself and the treatment regime that she was convinced to follow, the end of her life progressed very quickly. And by September, the only organs that were still functioning were her brain, her heart, and her lungs. She was moved into hospice care. And all of her children were able to set aside what was going on in their lives. And we all gathered, went back to Arizona, where I was born. And we were able to spend a week with my mom and my dad. At this point, I should explain that I was born into a very large, I have seven sisters and one brother, very loving Irish Catholic family and surprisingly functional Irish Catholic family from Arizona. And in order to support our family, my parents owned a business and they put pretty much all of their time into running that business. We had a good amount of quality time with my mom, but most of our family quality time was with each other amongst our siblings. And we had very little quality time with my father. The one aspect in which we could have some quality time was to play golf. My dad was an avid golfer. And when I was a kid, I was okay with golf. I actually even kind of liked it. As I got older, that started to wane, and then as my, especially when I went to college and my provincial view of the world began to open up, and I began to realize just what golf was doing to the landscape of Arizona. This was in the, I went to college in 1985. This was the height of where Arizona was basically the golf resort development of the capital of the world. Every year there were these more and more of these artificial grass oases being opened up in the middle of the desert. And when I was 22, I took a vow that I would never play golf again, and that if I had any say in the matter, I would never even step foot on a golf course. This was a big thing for my family. This was the only way I really had a chance to spend quality time with my father. I never told my parents directly, but my father quickly figured it out, just because every time I would come for a visit, I would always structure the visit so that I could never be available when he wanted to go play golf. I had to call upon the help of my sisters oftentimes to help. You know, sometimes it meant scheduling something at 6 a.m. so I wouldn't be available to play golf with my father. So I moved back in time up to 2010. And my mother has moved into hospice care. In September, by this point, my parents had relocated to Phoenix. I grew up north of there, but they relocated there. In Phoenix in September, it can still be very hot. In fact, it was getting close to 110 every day that we were there. But my mother, it was so important to her for her to have that she knew that this was the last family time that she was going to have. And so every day we moved her out into the courtyard, and we had to move around the courtyard to follow the shade so that she wouldn't be sitting in the sun. And she also refused to take any pain medication other than 2 Tylenol in the morning and 2 at night because she wanted to make sure that she was as clear and present with us as she possibly could. And it was amazing to spend this week together, sitting in that courtyard, telling stories, laughing. My mother could barely speak at that point, but she was fully with us every moment that we were there. And towards the end of the week, when I knew that 2 of my sisters were going to have to leave, the night before they were going to leave, I had a dream. And I should also explain that until I moved to Montana, I had never paid attention to birds. And I don't think I'd ever actually seen a great blue heron. Ever since I've been in Montana, I've been fascinated by great blue herons, at times even kind of obsessed. In this dream that happened the night before 2 of my sisters were going to leave, I was walking through a desert that was completely unfamiliar to me. And as I was walking, a great blue heron flew down and landed about 40 feet in front of me. And if you know anything about herons, it would be bizarre for a heron to be in the middle of a desert. But I remember thinking that this heron had something to tell me, and I tried to be patient. I tried to wait and see what I could learn. But I lost my patience, and I started to step towards the bird to try to ask it to speak to me. And this is a dream, after all. And as soon as I stepped towards that bird, it flew away. And I was so overcome with grief and remorse and just pain that I remember waking up crying. And when my father woke up that morning, I told him that I knew I couldn't just get in a car and go drive to I was the only one staying with my father that week, which was an incredible honor and also an incredible challenge at the same time. But I told him that I knew I couldn't just get in a car and drive with him up to the hospice. I was going to be there. I knew I had to be there, but I just couldn't do this routine that had started to develop. So I convinced him to let me walk up there, and it's 110. I had a choice. I could either follow the main streets and be surrounded by asphalt and concrete and vehicles, or there is an ancient arroyo that goes north-south through the town of Scottsdale, and that's where my parents were living. I knew if I followed that arroyo, and then they built golf courses throughout that entire arroyo. I mean, there's like 40 golf courses all the way along on this arroyo. But the city of Scottsdale had the foresight to actually put in a sidewalk, create a public access right-of-way that follows all the way along that arroyo as well. So I figured out that if I could walk that pathway, I would get to a point where I was only about 6 blocks away from the hospice. And this way I could at least be surrounded by somewhat nature, even though it meant walking through all these golf courses. I started walking, and I got about 3 miles when I came to one of the biggest golf lakes. It's actually one of the earliest developments in golf developments in Arizona. It's called McCormick Ranch, and it's this massive lake. As I'm walking around the lake, a great blue heron flies and lands in the water about 40 yards ahead of me, and I was so overwhelmed. I mean, I'm not generally the type of person that is puts too much stock in things that I cannot explain, but it just felt overwhelming and powerful. And I think I must have spent at least half an hour just standing there watching this bird, and I wasn't expecting it to speak to me, but I knew that I didn't want to make the same mistake of walking towards it. I waited until the bird decided it was time to leave. And after about half an hour, the bird flew away, and I made the rest of the trip. And as I was walking there, I knew that I had to find my mother. Most of my brothers and sisters would probably think that this story was interesting, but I knew my mother would really find it, at least I hoped that she would find it fascinating. So as soon as I got there, I found my mother, and I started to tell her about this and how I thought it was just so bizarre to see this great blue heron in the desert on a golf course. And like I said, my mother was having trouble speaking at that point, and she just looked at me and she said, "Honey, they've always been there. You just hate golf courses so much you didn't let yourself see them." And that, I will never forget that moment and the look on her face and the wisdom that I was expecting to come from this bird in my dream, and instead it comes from my mother. I still don't like golf courses. I still will never play another game of golf. But I am working to not let my distaste for golf impede on my relationship with my father, my ability to try to find quality time with him, and my ability to see the beauty of nature no matter where I'm at. Thank you.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art, the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community, MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula. For over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and live storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel. Custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers. Beth Jaffe, Shelby Humphreys, Pat Williams, Ethan Siegel, Blake Nicolazzo, Jack Rowan, and Karen McNenny. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and learn about the themes for 2015. TellUsSomething.org. Thank you for listening. Have a great one.